This podcast is part of the Frederick Podcast Network. Learn more at listenfrederick.com.
Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Hummingbird Wealth Management, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated. Now sit back and relax and enjoy another episode of Be the Hummingbird. Here's your host, Laura Johnson.
Hello, and welcome to Be the Hummingbird. It's a podcast where we hope to motivate, educate, and inspire you. And so what are we motivating and educating and inspiring you to do? Well, it could be to continue doing the same thing you're doing. It could be to stop doing something that you shouldn't be doing or start something new. And it's all with the goal and aspiration to really better yourself, to better your life and better your future or your current situation. So how do we do this? Well, you know, as I've mentioned before, I have over 30 years experience in finances, worked at a bank, then became a financial advisor, and now I'm a certified financial planner, own my own firm here in Walkersville, Maryland, by the way. And so I use some of my experience. Sometimes I use what my clients have been through. I use a little bit of my educational knowledge, and sometimes we have a guest speaker. And so today we have a guest speaker. His name is William Warren, and William is the owner of ETC Maryland. So welcome, William. Glad to have you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So William is going to give us a little bit of background. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, so but just give you a little idea. I have been a tinkerer my entire life. Actually, my parents figured out that I knew how to sneak around back behind, you know, those big console TVs we used to have. I snuck around back behind there with a butter knife one time when I got the back cover off, and they caught me right before I touched that big tube with the knife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's right. Only 45,000 volts. Don't want to touch
You'll
that.
You'll only do that once.
Yeah. So, and then over the years, you know what? I got very interested in the world of computers. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about like the Atari computers. That's how far back we're talking. I then joined the Navy, where I specialized in building highly secure worldwide data networks for the Navy. After I got out of the Navy, I've started my own series of businesses. I've never sold one, but as the times have changed, I've either changed the name of the business, the format of the business, but it's always been my business. And I've basically taken that knowledge of security, and then I've updated it through my own self-education and, of course, you know, you are learning from people that know more than I do. I don't know everything. And I focus now on small entrepreneurs, small businesses. We're talking probably 15 users or less, small nonprofits. And, then, of course, the growing population for me is the elderly, who are very vulnerable to a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting you're saying on this, William, because I've mentioned scams and I've mentioned cybersecurity in a number of my podcasts previous to this. And as some of you may know, I fell victim to a scam about 9 months ago. And, you know, the whole point of me sharing that, it was a very vulnerable time for me, was to make sure everybody knew you are not immune to whatever is going on out there. And the elderly population in particular. So I have a dad right now. Well, I've had a dad all my life, but my dad right now is dealing with some mental health issues, specifically dementia. And I put them together. I don't know if everybody else thinks dementia is mental health, but to me it is for him. And I have caught him a couple times on phone calls that I'm like, Dad, why are you talking to somebody about refinancing your 2.5% mortgage rate? Like, I don't understand. Like, how do you even get down that path, Dad? And so the reason I wanted you to be on the call is because there's a lot of people that this, me included, you know, technology and all the things, you know, we joke about Siri hearing us in our living room. We joke about our phone hearing everything we say, because I'll say something and I pop on social media and there's an ad for whatever I said.
Exactly.
So what are some of the big things going on, or what are some of the big things that people should be taking into consideration when it comes into personal cybersecurity?
Well, so the absolute biggest thing, you hear everybody talking about phishing and all this stuff, and you hear it over and over and over and over. Let me give you some basics. So technology alone is not going to be the solution to keep you safe, especially when it's technology that is the number one thing that can get you in trouble. Mm-hmm. So it's a layered approach. What a lot of people do is they layer security in terms of, okay, we're going to use this technology to protect you. And then we're going to layer another layer of technology. And we're going to another layer of technology. But something that I also have seen in my experience is I can wrap you in as many layers of technology that you don't see. But if you're still doing things you shouldn't do, mm-hmm. it's not going to matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter at all. So especially with the older generations, of which I'm becoming one, mm-hmm. you know, I'm 55 almost, but like my mom has Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. I've worked with several, some wealthy, some not elderly clients. And the absolute biggest thing is for the ones of the mental capability is you want to train them on just some basics, mm-hmm. on some very, very basics mm-hmm. that'll really help. It won't make you invulnerable. Mm-hmm. I've had some phishing scams. I've had to stop and go, that was really good. I had to spend a few minutes. I've been doing this for 30 years. And every now and then I'll see one that I'm like, I have to stop and check. I have to run through my own checklist.
Right.
You know, so complacency is the one thing that'll get you. So yeah, that's the biggest thing is it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you mentioned, there's some things that you look at and go, wow, you know, the scam that I got involved with, they hit some vulnerable points for mm-hmm. me, you know, called me on the phone, hit some, you know, impactful things about scaring me about what might happen to me or what might happen to my business or what might happen to my family.
Yeah.
And I was I'm a smart woman. You know, I've got multiple degrees. I do this for a living, but the emotion is what got me.
Yeah. It's the core emotion. Yeah. That they get.
Yeah.
Like, so just to give you a little bit of background, in 2015, my wife died suddenly. And somehow, I don't know how, but of course, it's probably these people that are, you know, are using bots and even AI back then, it's taken off now, but even AI back then, they can scrape the obituaries. Mm-hmm. And then it's not hard to find your information. I mean, I do everything I can to keep myself off and I can find myself pretty easily. I started getting calls, like fake calls from my older daughter. That she'd been captured or ransom and they were going to kill her if I didn't call them back, which luckily I was in a very vulnerable state at that time. I just lost my wife suddenly. All of a sudden I get a phone call like this. It's almost like they know, which somehow they do. Luckily I had a close circle of friends that went, can you go check on her? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really difficult when you're in a very emotional state and something like that comes in. Technology alone is not going to save you. Like this phone right here, I've got multiple layers of filtering for texts and email and the whole nine yards, and it still got through it. So,
yeah. Well, and it's, you know, your story, a lot of people are going to hear that and say how elaborate that is, that you're, you know, somebody's calling to say that they're your older daughter and I've been kidnapped for ransom. It's like, oh, come on, I'm never going to believe that. But having been in that position, both you and I have having been in that position where you just caught off guard and emotional. So I want to kind of focus on what are some of the habits that some people have or that they should be paying attention to.
Here are the two classics that get people the most. Mm-hmm. Clicking on links in email. Mm. Just, oh, this looks cool. Click. No, don't do that. Or even better, text messages, social media messages. Oh, this was cool. Click. No, you really don't want to do that. Or again, this comes down to vigilance. If you get an email, even if it looks legit, and a lot of people, what happens, I've been guilty of this. You'll see an email, you'll see a text. Again, I have got all kinds of filters on my phone that are built into the operating system and something will sneak through. And you're like, if you pause even for a microsecond, delete it. Period. End of story. Delete it. And then contact whoever it supposedly came from and ask them, did you send this?
Yep. Yeah.
Most of the time, your first instinct will be correct. And they'll be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. If it was legit, they can resend it.
And they can confirm. It's interesting that word, pause.
Yep.
Because
how many times have you seen a link and gone just half a second? And then you're thinking of, if it's that just a little microsecond pause, delete it. Mm-hmm. Contact who the sender is and then go from there. And again, this is just not the deeper techniques I use. That's just for everybody else. That'll save you a lot of the time.
Well, and the word pause, I mean, we live in this world where everybody wants their answers now and they got to go, 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 go. And everything's at rapid movement. And when I think about some of the things that I've seen come across my desk or stories that I've heard of other people getting caught up in a phishing scam or whatever it might be, it's because they didn't hit that mental pause button. And it kind of goes back. I know this is technology, but it just kind of goes back to evaluating your life. Like, if you are so go, 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 go all the time that you can't take time to smell the roses, I know that's a figurative thing, it's going to cost you both mentally and financially over time.
Well, a lot of the times for any of my clients who have gotten caught, like I had a client that got caught on a phishing scam. Mm-hmm. It wound up costing her $96,000. But you want to know what she didn't do? She actually paused and did it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what happens a lot of the time. Sometimes yeah. people are just going and they're not paying attention. But so I want to re-elaborate. If you ever see a message, if you're used to just clicking on things and all of a sudden you got a gotcha, you're used to just going and going and all of a sudden you have that little bit of uncertainty, listen to it. Delete Amen. The message, contact the sender and go, did you send this?
Yeah, your gut instinct is usually never wrong. I tell people all the time, my gut's always right. It's just whether or not I listen to it, right?
Yeah. And I mean, that's the biggest thing you can do to help protect yourself.
Yeah.
Is that if you think, I mean, you know, if you're like, I don't know. I mean, everybody have had this where you have a message come in and there's that little micro pause.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that, delete it, contact the person and go, did you send this?
Yeah.
If it's from like some kind of place you can't contact, if it's important enough, they'll get back to you.
Yeah. This is so important. And I mean, we kind of hit on it a very little bit, but I kind of want to focus on the elderly part of the population. And, you know, they're so vulnerable and there are laws out there that protect the elderly from, you know, at least in my industry of making sure I give them good advice. My husband has his MHIC, which is he's a handyman. And he has a certain age. He has to give them an extra 7 days to make the decision, even though they've signed the contract. You know, there's laws protecting this, but the bad guys don't care about laws. You know, the bad guys are going to do, yeah, they're criminals. They live outside of the world of rules, right? So as a family member, I mean, what are some of the things that we can be looking out for our elderly family members that might be red flags or things we can do to kind of hopefully prevent, you know, my dad refinancing his 2.5% mortgage?
As I mentioned, my mom has Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. It is advancing now. She was early onset, so she's 77 now, and she's had it since she was 50. Mm-hmm. So she's lived a very good life, and she continues to have her own life. But I'm starting to see the signs. And what I do is I talk to her sometimes 3 or 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. I just stay in contact. She's all the way in Tennessee. I just stay in contact a lot. Otherwise, there are sometimes apps where you can have your phone or remotely connected to theirs to mirror
things. See what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can get interesting in terms of legality. So sometimes I have to get attorneys involved. If it's really that bad, probably they shouldn't have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Really what's happening is I've had a couple clients that it just got to the point where it was taking too much time to manage them. So you give them just a regular cell phone that doesn't have any smartphone capabilities. They still exist. You can still get them. That solves a lot of the problem.
Yeah.
You know, now if they have a computer or an iPad or something else, we're kind of right back in the same boat. But luckily with a computer or an iPad, there are some technological layers we can add to assist. But eventually, and I hate to say this, but it may get to the point where they're just not safe with a computer or an iPad or something like that. Or if they have an internet accessible iPad, do not allow them to have their accounts on it.
Yeah.
In terms of mortgage banks, nothing. You need to make sure. And again, I'm speaking from experience. Like I have power of attorney over my mom right now. And I hope I never have to make the decision where I have to take those type of things away. But luckily we've discussed it. And she understands that there may be a time when I have to go, Mom, you can't do this.
Yeah.
So when you're dealing with an elderly person, you have got to make sure you have that kind of plan. That's not me. That would be an attorney. As far as a technological side, I can help. But, you know, so you also have to have somebody who is willing to go, this is not something that I can totally secure you against. You need to get another professional involved that I can work beside to help secure this person's area. So you have to be willing to go, I can't do it alone.
Yeah.
You know, even if it was me and you and your dad, at some point I'm going to have to be like, you know what, we may need to have more drastic action. Here's where an attorney would get involved to make sure we don't break any laws.
William, you've hit on like a bazillion things in there that I have repeated if not every other podcast. You know, communication, be communicating with the person that, you know, your mother, my father, you know, whoever it might be. It's hard, that balance between letting them be independent and making sure they're not endangering themselves or their finances or whatever, and having and give, you know, that that's hard. And knowing when you are not enough and you need help. So asking for help, you hit on that, you know, the legal documents, getting, you know, don't wait until it's too late to get the legal documents in place. Make sure those legal documents, they're there in the beginning.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. But you hit on some interesting things, because, you know, I've been giving my dad independence up until recently. And then I'm kind of like, okay, Dad, if you're sitting with a question that you just don't know the answer to, that's, you call me. And I talk to my dad probably 3 or 4 times a week now. And it used to be once a week, and then it grew to 2, then 3 yeah. and 4, and he's in Florida. So it's right. not like I can't just drive over and see him and have dinner with him every day. But I think keeping that regular communication, you're going to know, you know, as a child, you know, raising your parents is not for the faint of heart, you know, but having that communication, you're going to know when you get on the phone, oh, mom or dad or whoever it is they're not in a good place mentally. And I'm, you know, some red flags are going to go off for sure.
Well, so like, if I may just plug myself a little bit here, I have a service that I call Freedom IT. So it's basically for anybody who may have heard this, called MSP, which is a managed services provider. So what it is, what happens a lot of the time, not all the time, what happens a lot of time is if you bring an MSP in, they're going to take over everything and lock you out and lock you into a long-term contract. And, you know, if we're talking about somebody who may need to have your technology taken away, that's not what you want. So with Freedom IT, it's the same model, except it's month to month. I don't lock you into a contract. Mm-hmm. And also at the same time, you're going to own all your gear. I don't take it away from you. I will make sure that the relevant person has the same level of access that I do. And with a 30-day notice, you can remove me. I will step away.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do that for my mom right now. I have full access to her computer. Mm-hmm. She knows it. I have the ability to take it over. Like, I can take it away from her. Mm-hmm. She knows it. I haven't had to do it yet. I hope I don't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm prepared to, you know, and there's layers of security on the computer. The iPhone's kind of hard to wrap around because, well, it's built to not allow you to do that. But, you know, there are some things that I can put on an Android phone to protect. You know, iPhone's pretty good, but it has its shortcomings. So I pretty much watch over all of her technology. Now, she's family member, so she's given me
carte blanche.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which has allowed me to hone my product and also hone my skills. So if you are providing for an elderly member, like if you're having to bring them into your home, then, you know, with something like Freedom IT, I can help manage all the computers in the house, most of the devices in the house, and it's literally month to month. You own it all. Anything I recommend, either of you used myself or I've used in other things, unless you have like an absolute, totally unique situation, then I'll have to actually go, I haven't tried this, but this is the best that I can come up with on my particular research that I've done, and, you know, and go from the best. It's month to month. I'm not looking. So basically, I transfer all the risk to me. So you don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, my dad's 95 years old. He might keel over tomorrow and I'm locked into a 1-year contract. I don't owe anything. No, that's not how I work. So, and, you know, and I also have something else in the pipeline. I can't talk about it yet, but it's a partnership with someone who actually specializes in elder care. And it's not going to be branded Freedom IT. It'll be kind of the same thing. And if it actually gets off the ground, then it's going to expand to a much, much larger area.
Yeah.
And be tailored towards seniors.
And, you know, for the person that's listening to this podcast right now, you'll be like, okay, this doesn't apply to me. It does. Because all of us are vulnerable. All of us. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be young. You don't have to be short. You don't have to be tall. You may be fat. You may be skinny. You don't have to be. You can be whoever you are right now and be vulnerable to all of this.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, like I said, I fell victim. You fell victim. I hit the pause button and kept on going. So I lost some money out of that deal. And it still pisses me off. But whatever. I think that what you're doing and then continuing with the new thing that you're going to do as well, working with the elderly, this is huge. You know, we hate saying this, but our elderly are probably the most vulnerable people out there. But I would take a second guess is that the rest of you are also most vulnerable because you're all go, 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 go all the time.
Absolutely.
So William, I mean, if somebody's interested in looking you up and chatting you up, and you mentioned that we talked about the elderly thing, but you also do a little bit of business stuff. I don't really want to get on that with this call, but if somebody's got a small business and they want to reach out to you, how would they find you?
You can call me up at 301-524-5271, or it's E as in Echo, T as in Tango, C as in Charlie, hyphen, M as in Mike, D as in dog.com, etc-md.com. That's the two biggest ways that you can get hold of me. I used to be on Facebook. It just got to be too much for me to manage.
Facebook's the devil.
Yeah, it took up so much of my time. So, yeah. But those are the two big ways that you can get hold of me. There's a contact form on the website, so you can fill that out. Send it, it'll come right to me. But as I said, you know, that's the biggest thing for there is, you know, I just reach out and contact me because, as I said, a small businesses and then personal and then nonprofits, but I'm beginning to start really concentrating
on that senior community,
The senior community. Yeah. And again, transferring a lot of the risk to myself. There's no set pricing. It's more or less a no set pricing. I mean, there's,
you will discuss that with people, correct. I guess, when they call you. Yeah.
It's a matter of, you know, which services do you determine that you need at what level?
Yeah. It's the same thing with me. Yeah. People ask me all the time, how much do you charge? And I'm like, it really depends. I got to talk to you. I got to get to know you and understand what this relationship's going to look like before we go in. But it's a much needed service, you know, and having had personal experience and hearing the stories of my clients and some of my friends and family, you know, it's a scary world we live in. I mean, artificial intelligence is definitely contributing good things, but it's also contributing some of these scary things as well.
Absolutely.
And to know that, William, there's someone out there like you and a company like yours that's there to help us to be able to figure this out and kind of take us down that path to protect ourselves to the best of our abilities is great. So anything else you want to add for the audience that we haven't covered so far?
Not without going too far out of scope. Let's just keep it in scope here.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have you come back on for a whole nother topic at some point. Yeah.
That'd be great.
So anyway, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this conversation. I know I did. I learned a lot. It's been a pleasure sharing with William my story and him sharing with me. You know, the cybersecurity and scams and phishing, you know, you've probably heard me say on these other podcasts that I've had is technology scares the living, you know what, out of me. I just tell me what button to push or what to click. And I'm always afraid. I'm always afraid something comes through. I'm like, is this real? You know, and I guess it's not good to live life in fear all the time. You want to have some happiness. But when it comes to this subject, it's not a bad idea to live a little bit in fear or hit that pause button. So this has been Be the Hummingbird. This podcast has been brought to you by Listen Frederick. I'm your host, Laura Johnson. And as always, it's not goodbye. It's see you later.
Live radio, local podcasts, the Frederick Podcast Network at listenfrederick.com.